from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 5, verse 21 and following. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched him on his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately, aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the little girl got up and began to walk. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should come, should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Would you give me just a minute? That was actually about 50 seconds. Did it seem longer? We don't like waiting, do we? I don't like to wait. I want things when I want things. How about you? It's hard for us to wait. It's uncomfortable to wait. I heard at least 3 throats that needed instant clearing when I said, "Give me just a minute." We didn't want that awkward silence. What do we do? Manya and I had a discussion this morning that Noah has a baseball game at 4 o'clock today. And we were just wringing our hands saying, what are we going to do for those extra 3 hours that we just have to wait before the game? We are not a culture that enjoys waiting. We want it when we want it. I remember the story of my little cousin Colin, my cousin Cammie's son, that went with his meemaw to Walmart and his mother. And as they were making their way around, Colin picked out several items that he wanted. And his mother said he didn't need them. So Colin, being the entrepreneur, ever how you say that word, you can tell I'm not one, pulled Meemaw off to the side where Mom wasn't listening and said, Meemaw, when I say I won't sit, I won't sit. I can relate to Colin. And it's such a contrary to our faith, our culture, and to our God. Because our God is often a God of waiting. We heard it in our call to worship this morning, this beautiful passage where the psalmist says this about our God. Out of the depths I cry to you, and I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. You see, waiting's not something new in our faith. We're not the first who've been told, give it a little time. Time can indeed be a great healer. Isn't there truth to that? We often think of that in our culture, maybe our relationships. And I've even said that before pastorally to say that, you know, time can be a great healer, but is that a biblical statement? Is it a statement about our God? You know, I'm becoming more and more convinced that it is. And there seems to be imagery, even in our scripture today, that alludes to us and helps us open our eyes to see how indeed time can be a great healer. Let's review that today a moment. And perhaps consider some ways that time can bring healing to relationships, to our needs, to our lives, and in the words of the little theologian Colin, to our wants. How can time help us? You know, one thing that time does as a healer, it helps us appreciate the journey to where we get what we seek. Here's a small example of that. Last evening, we had my in-laws, Manya's parents, Charlie and Martha, over, along with our little nieces and nephews, our little nieces, Charlie and Bailey. And they were there with us. And Manya Hill makes one of the best pound cakes in the world. I'm telling you. I know because it was my Mama Wilbanks' recipe. And Manya got it perfected after many years of trying. And as we were eating, and I had to be the taster through all of it and loved every minute of it. And we were eating our supper last night, and those little girls, you know where their minds were going and their noses were going. They could smell that cake in the oven. And they asked, can we get some cake now? And Nana, grandmother, caring for them, said, you have to wait. First you eat your dinner, and then comes the dessert, and oh, doesn't that anticipation make it all the better? Time, indeed, can be a great healer. There is more joy we find in life that even far exceeds the sweetness of a pound cake. There's more joy in finally achieving the goal that we've reached for once we've gone through the journey. Time can heal. Waiting can be therapeutic. We don't enjoy it as we're going through it, but looking back, we can give thanks for the times in our life when we had to wait. Surely, that's why the psalmist says, we have a God whose glory, we have a God whose joy is indeed worth waiting for. Maybe the psalmist is also saying that when we wait, we know God's joy even more fully. Could it be? There's a treasure in waiting, and time indeed is healing. You know, last week as we reflected on the scripture prior to this journey of Jesus crossing back over, where Jesus gathered with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee. He'd been preaching along the seaside there. And he got into the boat and they crossed over to the other side and went through the storm. We reflected on the storms of life, where God is present even in the storms. And we wrestled with that great question of, why does God allow us to go through storms in life? As I reflected back on that message this week even, and I went through a little exercise of remembering what a SWOT analysis is in a business, for a team, a church, or an organization. When groups go through SWOT analysis, it helps them to review their strengths, their weaknesses, their opportunities, and their threats. You know, I think of when we go through storms of life, that oftentimes that can provide us an opportunity to go through a SWOT analysis. In our scripture last week, we heard how those who went through the storm with Jesus, they drew strength. By going through the adversities we do in life, we are strengthened. Many of us have exercised our muscles by walking or running. And as we do that, going through the sweat, the grunt, the challenges, we become stronger for the journey. Such it was for the disciples who went through the storm with Jesus. They were strengthened. That was their SWOT analysis of going through the storm. But also, by going through the storm, they were made aware of where their weaknesses were. In their vessel, they saw where the hole may have been a little too shallow, where water could too easily come into their vessel. We too, friends, by journeying through storms of life, are aware of our weaknesses, where we need to capitalize on our strengths. And last week we reflected as the disciples, as Jesus said, have you still no faith? The opportunity of the SWOT analysis for those disciples was they had a chance by going through the storm to grow in their faith, their trust in God. You know, that's what happens for us. The events we go through, they can oftentimes break us or make us. I heard once where a person said, I can guarantee you, no matter what you're going through right now, you can make it worse. I relate to that at times. Sometimes no matter what I'm going through, I can make it a little worse by not seizing the opportunity to trust more in God than in myself. And you know the threat of that passage last week, what it really was, a challenge to their faith. Because friends, let's be honest. Let's be honest as people of faith today. Sometimes when we're in the storm, it's hard to have faith. It's a threat to our faith, the storms that we face in life. You know, it was no different for the friends of Jesus that we saw in our scripture last week. And then if we're not careful, we hear this text this week and we think it's all victory. That these who sought healing and restoration from Jesus were instantly recovered. But you see, the woman who'd been suffering and even the leader of the church named Jairus, they too had been through their storms. Friends, we all will face storms in this life. If we're not in a storm, we are soon to be going through one. Such it is in our life that is filled with challenges and adversities. You know, when I think about this passage of Scripture, the contrast between the church leader, Jairus, and the woman who was not even given a name in our text. We think of Jairus as being one who was prominent, probably of wealth and great prestige, in this woman who was not even a churchgoer. Even if she wanted to attend the synagogue, she would not have been allowed to because of her illness. She would have been looked down upon, an outcast to the entire community. In addition, Jairus made his appeal to God very public, where the woman suffering in her illness made her request to God very private. Just as Jairus had great wealth, she had exhausted all of her wealth. And just as Jairus made his appeal verbally and loudly for all to hear, the woman reached out to Christ on her own without saying a word. But you know, as much that separates Jairus and the woman suffering in illness, there are two things that united them. They both needed restoration, and they both trusted in Jesus to be their Savior. You see, our Scripture today said, "You are made well." We've used that word as a modern day translation of what the traditional Scripture better interprets, that they were saved. They were restored. What a wonderful explanation of what our God does for us. When we think of being saved, if our life is fleeting away, it's someone doing for us what we cannot do alone. That's the gift of waiting on God to restore us. And it's oftentimes after time has passed, and we cherish all the more what God has done. So may we never forget, even as we hear this Scripture today, that the woman had suffered for some time. Jairus and his family were plagued with the concerns of their daughter. Friends, every person in all of creation will face storms. I'm reminded of the story of the man who went to visit a therapist, and he said, "My life is fleeting away. I'm filled with depression and lack of hope." And he said, "What's such a crisis is that so many others depend upon me for their happiness." He said, "If I can't find happiness again, I can't serve others." He said, "I'm fully spent. There's no hope. Life is filled with darkness." As the therapist listened, he said, "You know, I think you just need a break. There's a wonderful comedian, a clown named Bingo. He paints up and he makes everybody's life better, and he brings more joy to others." He said to the patient, "Why don't you go and see Bingo in action?" To that, the patient said, "Doc, I am Bingo." Friends, we all have our storms. We all have time that we may trust in God to restore us in His good time. But if we will wait, in the words of the psalmist, if we will trust in the Lord in His timing, and that's hard for us to do, we too will find fullness in life. There is healing in time. You know, isn't it wonderfully comfortable in here this morning, this sanctuary? You know what the difference is? Wayne Stevenson came up here last night and turned on the air conditioner. Now, he's been doing this practice for years. Early on Sunday morning, coming to this church, turning on the air conditioning. But as we all know, it's gotten so hot this summer that a few hours before worship is just not enough time to bring comfort. And here's what else happened. By Wayne giving a little more time, we have been comforted. But you know what else I've experienced? I was hot the two previous Sundays. I don't know about y'all. And it's made me appreciate this great gift today all the more. Could it be that time works like that? That by having to wait, we cherish the gift, the comfort all the more. Friends, I want to close you today with these words of hope. There is healing in time, and there is healing with our God. God, through the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, will restore each of us ultimately and make us well if we, like the woman and Jairus, will wait on Him and trust Him with all of our storms. Let's pray. God, we are grateful that You are all-knowing, that Your time is perfect, that we all, like Your disciples and people of faith since we've had a faith, go through storms, that we can learn through those storms, that we can be strengthened, that we can overcome our weaknesses, that we can grow in our faith, and know that in Your great time You will conquer. That our hope in You is eternal, that time is on our side because You have conquered time and every storm that we face. May we as Your children rest in the hope of knowing that in You, O God, there is life, there's love, and joy forever. In Christ we pray. Amen.